Welcome back to The Candid Cast, Season 3, Episode 10. Today, we're diving deep into the heart of selflessness.
Welcome once again to The Candid Cast. My name is Lucky Egede, your favorite coach. And recall, we have been discussing the profile of a leader, what leadership profile is and what is expected of a leader. Today is the 10th part of it. I'll be talking about selflessness as one of those qualities that is required of leadership. If you cannot be selfless, you have no business leading anybody. Before we continue into the topic, I will plead with you, just click the notification button. We want to get you informed as soon as a new episode is published, and also like The Candid Cast on various social media channels, especially on the YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and we're also on audio podcasts, which I encourage you to listen to when you are driving, when you are taking a walk. Just listen to it and share also to your friends and loved one. There is love in sharing. Let other people also benefit from these teachings. Thank you, because I'm sure you must have done that. We are now going into the 10th episode, selflessness. That's our topic today, selflessness. James Keller said, "A candle loses nothing by lighting another candle." Anthony Robbins said, "Only those who have learned the power of sincere and selfless contribution experience life's deepest joy and true fulfillment." I see, you make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. It's selflessness that makes people great. So we continue on this essential ingredient as our 10th and final part in this series. Leadership is about serving the people with selflessness, with sacrifice, with a need to put the common good, common interest, ahead of personal interest. Why are some nations prosperous and others so impoverished? Why is leadership crisis such a big deal, particularly in Africa? The answer lies in the foundation of the nations. When the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? These nations were founded on selfishness. They didn't have selfless leaders at the base, at the foundation, at the formation stage. And the same happened to families, to organizations. If you don't have selflessness at the starting point, it becomes very difficult to build it. The colonialists brought conglomeration of hitherto warring tribes together to call them nation. And the people refused to be detached from their individual tribes and tribal sentiments. The individuals that were quick at learning were raised to gain some understanding. They were able to gain some understanding of how the colonial administration works, and they assisted the expatriates in their works. In return, they enjoyed some privileges that were not available to the rest of the people. These indigenous people, who rose to become district officers, became privileged among the oppressed people and were the ones exerting their people for tax and forced labor. When it was time for independence of these nations, the same elites were the ones that took over power, and all they knew to do with power was oppression, because that is the leadership modeled by the colonial masters. Today, government has not introduced itself to the people in Africa as friend of the people. It is the reason nobody frowns when government money is stolen by a member of your tribe or language group. One of you has gone to plunder a perceived enemy, which makes it look like a vengeance mission. Until we begin to see government as our own, as ourselves, and the leaders that we have there are not doing anything to make us see government as our own. People go set government buildings on fire and nothing happens. Nobody sees it as anything wrong. But you will not want to lose even an asset of your own that is worth 1,000 naira. Those who formed poor nations, like African countries and most South American countries that formed them into nations, went there to exploit natural resources for personal benefits. Those are not people to model selfless leadership. They killed and maimed the indigenous people for their selfish end. Those colonialists that came from Europe to plunder Africa have not left Africa alone, even as we speak. They have found and groomed indigenous proses who they use to rule African countries today. Are we truly independent? On paper, we are. But I read this article that sums up the method that is used to enslave Africa in this generation, and it sums up what we are going through as a people. And he said, today, the Western world is fighting war at no cost. They call it war at no cost. So, and it is stated in that write-up that first generation war was fighting with bladed weapons, which are the wars of the knights. And the second generation war was fighting with firearms. And in this document, quote, the man that Mr. Coates, that's the designer of the American Coat brand of pistols, said, now the brave and the coward are equal in the fighting with firearms. They made it equal. It's first to put the trigger. It doesn't matter how powerful you are. A child of 10 years old can kill the best of boxers or wrestlers once he has his firearm. And the third generation combat and extermination using nuclear weapons is a war in which the most cowardly would win. So the person who is afraid of the other person, if you fear your opponent too much, you just unleash gas on his own side, and everybody will inhale and die, and you become the winner of the war if you are alive still to celebrate the victory. The fourth generation war, that is where we are going to dwell on how it affects the Africa, is letting the enemy fight itself by using the fifth column, which is the war of traitors and spies, by investing in and fueling intellectual, religious, tribal, and logical conflicts. You see in this war that when a good leader, somebody like Silvanus Olympio, the Thomas Sankara, and the likes, the Magufuli, when such people rise, it is not difficult to eliminate them. But when you see people like Blaise Compaoré come to power, they can be there for 50 years to plundering and destroying the African continent. You know that the enemy that beats the drum that we are dancing is not from within. So people who fight tribal wars in this generation are just stupid people that do not know what they are doing. If you hate one tribe as against another, nobody chose his tribe. Tribe is not the basis to judge anybody, but the Western world will make it look so to create a way of dividing people for their own benefit. The French thinker Roger Garoudy said of the fourth generation war that now the West fights at zero cost. And how do they achieve it? The enemy kills itself. The enemy pays the price of the weapons. The enemy asks us to intervene, but we don't accept. Zero cost means that the West loses nothing in the war, and that's the war Africa is waging today. Africa needs an intellectual reawakening to deal with this, because fourth generation wars depend on the creation of failed states. This is done through the following points, as he highlighted. Number one, creating ideological conflicts, such as sectarian, like you have the Boko Haram. All of a sudden you wake up, Muslims and Christians have been living together for several years. The Western education becomes a taboo. So racial segregation, regional conflict, you are from the north, I am from the south, who rules? This has been achieved almost in every part of Nigeria. This ideological conflict, sectarian violence, it has held us down, that a nation with so much resources has nothing to show for it. Number two, isolation of an area of the country to be destroyed so that it is not under the control of the country. We have this all around us in Nigeria. You get to the northeast of Nigeria and see the volume of killing that takes place. Some part of it, there are several years that youth coppers could not go to part the northeast, Yobe, Borno, nobody could be posted there. That side was several local governments in Borno State. We are not under the control of the Nigerian government. Number three, you create an army of villains from the sons of this country, that's the enemy country, to be a tool of murder without any mercy or thought. And this is the army that replaces the armies of the occupying country. So Europe does not need to send any soldier onto us. The danger of out-of-school children as tools in the hands of bandits and religious extremists is plaguing us badly. Number four, they use illiterate and ignorant children and young people with no conscience or culture and engage them in combat so that a generation can grow up imbued with a culture of murder and destruction rather than a culture of construction, reconstruction, and urbanization. Those people are not interested in anything called development. And number five, they provide every means to facilitate moral corruption, social decadence, through free drugs, cheap alcohol, legalizing illegal relationships and sexual issues with an emphasis on homosexuality, and the making social media effective alternative to family education. So whatever you are teaching your children now, they tell you social media is teaching another thing, and people will tend towards what social media is saying. That's why you find people, somebody is a cross-dresser, and that becomes something for everybody to follow. Look at the number of people following a cross-dresser. What's the meaning of cross-dressing? What value does it add to society? Somebody is born a man, now choose to make up and dress himself as a woman, and he has people who like, he has people who follow. Yeah, are they normal? Finally, to create a failed state that is easy to control and subject to any decision that the occupying states wants from this failed state. Nigeria and most African countries appear to be in the fourth generation of war, letting the enemy fight itself using the fifth column, which is the war of traitors and spies, by investing in and fueling intellectual, religious, tribal, and logical conflicts. Rwanda has had its fair share of this until 1994, when they ended the experience and ended the genocide in December. That genocide lasted just from April to July, and people died in their millions. It has come out of it when Rwanda was able to get the selfless leadership of President Paul Kagame, with Democratic Republic of Congo, Nigeria, Tanzania, Ethiopia, Sudan, and others win this war. It looks very unlikely. The type of democracy we are propagating, that our own special brand of democracy, where it makes no sense to leave your house on election day to say you are going to vote, because your appearance at the polling booth has no impact on the outcome. The result is known months and years before election. Until we get a generation of selfless leaders, Nigeria and indeed Africa is doomed. Our grandparents were forced into slavery in Europe, and today the devastation of our nations, engineered by other countries using selfish leaders as proxies, are motivating our children to volunteer as slave labor in other countries. Many lose their lives in the deserts and others in the sea to escape the grip of selfish leaders in Africa. That's why selflessness as a quality of leadership cannot, there is no better time to talk about it. These people we call leaders have no plan outside how to win the next elections, and it does not matter how, they just want to be there. We have been so impoverished that our brains appear to have been stolen, and we are now stupid enough to riot and kill and maim to help our oppressors perpetuate themselves in power. A selfless leader prioritizes the needs and interests of others, including their team members, their organization, and community, over their own personal interests, personal gains. They demonstrate a willingness to sacrifice their own comfort, their own time and resources for the greater good. Here are some key characteristics you'll find in selfless leader. You know, we have been talking about what selfish leaders do and the damage, but are there gains of selfless leadership? Number one, selfless leaders put others first. This is the type of leadership expected of godly people, when the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 24, it says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Even in the church, you can't find it today. Selfless leaders prioritize the well-being and success of their team members. Even if it means sacrificing their own interests, a selfless leader will readily recognize and reward talent, irrespective of the personality involved. He will not sideline a talent for other affiliation like consanguinity or affinity. Number two, empathy and compassion. We hear plenty broadcasts of "we feel your pain," but empathy goes beyond words. A selfless leader striving to deliver a better future will drive personal car to do official works and cancel so many frivolous expenditures, as we saw with Alhaji Latif Jakonde when he was governor of Lagos State. He exemplified this in the Second Republic by living in his personal house in Ilukbeju throughout his 4 years as governor, and using his personal car while he was governor. Selfless leaders show genuine concern and understanding for others, creating a supportive and caring environment. Alhaji Latif Jakonde invested in housing and education for all, irrespective of tribe or religion. Nobody knew where anybody came from. He cared for all, and he will be remembered forever for it. Number three, selfless leaders are servant. They demonstrate servant leadership. Genuine leader is a servant. It's not a master. So that's the road to greatness. And this is what should be adopted. They adopt a servant leadership approach, focusing on serving others rather than seeking power or recognition. A selfless leader takes personal inconvenience to ensure the well-being and comfort of team members. Number four, selfless leaders are humble. Let's talk about their humility. A selfless leader is not self-seeking, is not self-glorifying. People are generally recognized for their contributions to the team. Members are recognized, not sidelined after they make contribution. When it works well, you say, I am the leader, it's my job. When it does not work well, no, it's not done that way. Selfless leaders remain humble and they recognize the value of others, the contribution of others, and they acknowledge that success is a team effort. You can't do it alone. Number five, for selfless leader, we talk about their accountability. A selfless leader is not quick at passing blame to others for failure of a project. They take responsibility for their actions and decision, even when it is difficult or uncomfortable. Number six, we talk about stewardship as one of those qualities you find in selfless leaders. It is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. Selfless leaders know this too well. They account for public resources as though it were their private asset, using them for the greater good of the people rather than for personal benefit. They don't occupy position because of personal gain. Number seven, mentoring and development. Selfless leaders are not afraid to raise other leaders. They are not insecure. They invest time and energy in developing others, helping them grow and succeed. The development of others to lighten the workload, it will lighten the workload and increase productivity. You remember at the beginning, I said it that a candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. And that's what selfless leaders do. Number eight, lack of self-interest. They are not motivated by personal gains. They are not the what is in it for me kind of people. So when it's time for decision making, they make decisions on the basis of what the common good required. Selfless leaders avoid using their position for personal gain or to promote their own interest. Nigeria has had great times in the past where the Olusegun Obasanjo military administration developed First Act Town without owning a piece of land or building in that place, either personally or by proxy. I wish we'll get back to that point again. The Global System for Mobile Communication, GSM, was launched in Ghana in 1996. It didn't get to Nigeria until 2001 because every leader that was approached to approve GSM for Nigeria wanted to be the owner. If the license is not going to be in my name, then you don't come and my people don't get telephone. Who were there? David Mack, as communication minister, opened his mouth to say that the poor has no need for telephone, that telephone is not food. So that was the type of leadership that was exemplified at that time. Today, we know better whether the poor needs telephone or does not need it. Communication minister that is supposed to bring it for us was telling us that it is not food and the poor has no need for it. The yoke was broken in 2001 when we got a selfless leader. By embracing selflessness, leaders build trust, foster a positive culture, and create an environment where others feel valued and empowered to succeed. This is the point where we draw the curtain for today on the Candid Cast. Thank you for staying tuned. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more exciting episodes ahead. We appreciate your support and can't wait to share more insights with you soon.